Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'm on my own today. A couple of things happening this week I'd like to talk about have to do with Russia's relations with the West and the rest of the world. How it fits in or does not fit in. One is the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, a three-day event that starts on June 6th in President Vladimir Putin's hometown. And this actually has just gotten more interesting, according to reports that are just coming in now with some statements by the Kremlin. The forum's been held since 1997, I think, and Putin first went in 2005. You know, in those days, Putin had already started cracking down on the opposition. He was in the start of his second term as president, but the economy was growing fast, and it was a way. The forum was a way to attract interest among his investors into Russia. There was an oil boom. It was in the midst of an oil boom that lasted throughout Putin's first two terms. This year. There are a couple of interesting developments involving the forum and Michael Calvi, the American investor who's been active in Russia since 1994, but is now under house arrest at his Moscow home and could be sentenced to 10 years in prison if convicted on embezzlement charges involving the private equity firm he founded, Baring Vostok. He and the firm say the charges, which have also landed some of his colleagues in jail or in pretrial detention, are unfounded. Anyway, U.S. Ambassador John Huntsman has decided, it was announced, I think, last month, that Huntsman would stay away from the St. Petersburg Forum because of Calvi's continued house arrest and prosecution, which the U.S. Embassy said undermines efforts to create the stability needed to attract new investment and encourage more robust business interaction. So obviously, you know, a straightforward signal sent by the U.S. there. But meanwhile, there have been reports that Calvi wants to attend the St. Petersburg Forum. And he's been fairly sort of talking up investment in Russia, even, you know, in court appearances or in statements in court. So it's an interesting development. I'm not sure what the status of this is. His lawyers had reportedly planned to make a request that would be reviewed by the investigative committee. Now, just a few minutes ago, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov was quoted as saying several things that essentially that the Kremlin would like to see Calvi at the St. Petersburg Forum, and also that he's a trustworthy businessman. The case against him is frustrating, and they would like to see him. They would like him to be freed. Now, at first glance, those looked like extremely positive comments about Calvi from the Kremlin. But on the other hand, if you take a closer look, it looks like he's saying, well, but, you know, this is a legal process, as the Kremlin does say. This is a legal process. We have to wait for the courts to make their decision. I believe he also said there's nothing political about it. So in a way, saying frustrating, but, you know, and we'd like him to go. So, you know, it's a little hard to tell exactly what the Kremlin is saying here, you know, whether it's a signal that he should be at least let out of house arrest to go to the forum if he wants. Or whether the Kremlin is weighing in on the case itself. I think it's still at the point of the Kremlin using it to say, well, obviously it's frustrating that this investor is in detention, but, you know, he is accused, he's charged, and you know, let's let justice be served. So we'll see what happens with that, you know, in the next few hours and next few days. The forum starts on Friday. I'm not sure what Putin's plans for the St. Petersburg Forum are this year, but conveniently, I think, for Russia, it coincides with the 75th anniversary of D-Day on June 6th. And one place Putin will not be is on the shores of the English Channel in France or Britain for the anniversary events. He has not been invited, unlike some previous big years, 2004, I think, the 60th anniversary of D-Day, and 2014. One report I saw said the formal reason, at least for France, for Putin not being invited, was that the prime minister of France is leading the international D-Day ceremonies, not President Macron, who I believe is going to attend a kind of a specifically French ceremony. But U.S. President Trump and other heads of state are expected to take part. So, you know, that sounds a little bit like, yes, kind of a formal reason. I doubt Putin is very happy, you know, with not being there, or at least not being welcomed there or invited there. He does clearly like to be meeting with Western leaders. And his participation in 2014 was kind of important. It allowed for the creation of the so-called Normandy format for talks on the conflict in Ukraine. That Normandy format being France, Germany, Russia, and Ukraine, because the presidents met kind of on the sidelines of these D-Day ceremonies in France at the time. Now, to me, that name, Normandy format, gave Russia a certain kind of cachet in Putin's eyes, almost as if Russia also participated on the Western front in the war, but also helped Russia's effort to appear to be part of the potential solution in eastern Ukraine rather than part of the problem, or what in Kiev's eyes, certainly Moscow is the main problem, the aggressor in the conflict in eastern Ukraine. Putin's meeting that year in Normandy with the presidents of France, Germany, and Ukraine came a few months after Russia had seized Crimea in March and backed militants who still control parts of the Donetsk and Luhansk provinces in Ukraine after 5 years of war, more than 5 years now, and that has killed at least 13,000 people, according to the UN. So now with the war in eastern Ukraine and Russia's takeover in Crimea of Crimea, those will be the focus of another event going on sort of in Western Europe this week at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. The court is holding hearings on Kiev's case against Moscow over its actions in both Crimea, the seizure of Crimea, and eastern Ukraine. There will be, I think today, Russia is giving sort of its case, or I think it's going to argue that this court does not have jurisdiction over this issue. And Ukraine gives some of its arguments tomorrow, and then there are more hearings, I believe, also on the 5th and 6th at the ICJ in The Hague. So that will kind of bring this, the conflict and the situation in Crimea, you know, to the world's attention to some degree. Again, this is just after, Ukraine has gotten a new president, there's little sign of any real progress towards peace, towards an end to the fighting that continues kind of daily, not on an extremely high level now, but daily, little progress towards a resolution of the dispute or the conflict in eastern Ukraine. So we'll see what outcome that has. I think, you know, to some degree, it's going to be a symbolic one. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, on Friday, please be on the lookout for my newsletter, The Week in Russia, which will be coming out will be coming out again on this Friday. Thank you.